Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Well, well, well. If it isn't the old holiday pod, John. What's up, y'all? This is Danny Palmer. I host this podcast. If you've listened to this before, you're aware of this. It also says it in the fucking title. So, you know, I clearly made a speech error at the start of the recording. Did I stop it and begin again? No, I did not. Because we here at the Danny Palmer Show, by which I mean myself, home alone in my apartment on a Tuesday night, are committed to sincerity and authenticity. And that's what happens sometimes, you know? Not every sentence gets out perfectly, okay? Sometimes when I'm doing stand-up, I'll like jumble a word. And sometimes I'll only jumble like one word the whole set. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh man, I jumbled that one word. And then it's like, dude, you didn't jumble any of the other words. Like, why are you focused on the one little slip up, you know? Also, it's like, it's not a movie. It's a live performance. You're going to fucking fuck some shit up. And sometimes when you fuck shit up, it makes it a little better. Don't they like leave mistakes in movies sometimes? Like part of the dialogue, you know? All right. That's a little query I had that just will lay out there in the air and perhaps never be answered. Gotten some really nice feedback lately from the from pod listeners. I was about to say the name of the show. Dude, just fucking do the podcast, Danny. My friend Betty said, I was so moved by how self-reflective and contemplative your pod is this week. Thank you for saying that. It's always a good mix of being meditative and hilariously self-deprecating, but I got almost emotional with an emotional emoji there because you made me think about taking the time to pause daily and think about small improvements. Yeah, I think that's key, you know? And then is it bragging to just read nice reviews about your podcast? I mean, I don't think so, because what if somebody has never heard this before and they're like, what the fuck is this podcast? What is this bald dude with the orange kind of picture? Like, what is this, dude? So if I read you a review that I think that she's going to add to the Apple podcast soon, then maybe you'll be like, hey, maybe I should stick around. Also, Betty, if you're listening to this and you haven't posted this to Apple podcast yet, what the fuck are you waiting for? Just submit it. Jesus Christ. Just kidding. Obviously, that's rude and mean, and I would never actually mean that, but it seemed funny to ask somebody to write a nice review for you about your own podcast and then scream at them on the podcast about the nice review. That's pretty bad behavior. She said an effortlessly entertaining and sometimes inspiring blend of hilarity and self-reflection with a dash of pop culture, hot takes from the perspective of a longtime New York City stand-up comic. That is very true. I think you've summarized my podcast and life better than I ever have. So thank you for that, Betty. Each episode is a free flow mix of everyday life adventures, misadventures. Those are fun, huh? Whoa, that was a misadventure. My leg is going to get amputated now. And amusing anecdotes, occasionally served up alongside another comedian slash guest, and sometimes with the rude and unseen and also totally made up girlfriend. I am not made up. Who's this bit? Do not say that word in this podcast, hon. I'm a guy. I can't be using that word in my podcast. Well, I'm a girl. And I'm saying, who's this bitch? I fucked my voice up. The review continues. Beyond the laughter, there's often a poignant exploration of life's complexities, self-discovery, and self-improvement. Those are three of my favorite things. These insights, with their hilarious delivery and timing, showcase some real comedy chops. Thank you. As even the most embarrassing or mundane moments become laugh-out-loud stories that can resonate with listeners from all walks of life. I mean, I can tell that she works in marketing. This is amazing. Amazing writing on her part is what I mean to say. Definitely an entertaining listen for a good belly laugh. I don't know if I would want with belly laugh. You know, what is this, the fucking 40s? No, I'm just kidding. Belly laugh's fine. Belly laugh just makes me think of like an old-timey cartoon. It's like some really fat dude and like the tears of laughter coming out of his eyes and he's like grabbing his belly. It's like, oh, it's a belly laugh. It's like, fuck you, dude. Just fucking keep your laughter under control. Belly laugh alongside moments of self-contemplation and followed by a few dirty jokes. Come. Do you guys like come? Thank you, Betty. That's very kind of you. I appreciate the feedback. And I've also been thinking about, like, sometimes I travel for comedy and then I'll like talk to an Uber driver in like Tampa or like Raleigh or something. And I'm like, when you have a nice conversation with the Uber driver and at the end, you feel like you're just, you know, you had a nice time with each other. And now you're just two strangers parting ways permanently. It's like, what do we do here? Do we exchange phone numbers? Do we exchange Instagrams? It's just weird. I think having a podcast is the best way to continue and maintain some sort of connection or relationship with an Uber or Lyft driver that you've had a real connection with, you know? So that's what I do. It's like, hey, do you want to like listen to me talk? It's like, hey, I enjoyed the conversation in this car. Moving forward, do you want to just listen to only me talk in this car? I guess it's pretty selfish and ridiculous. All right. I'm a piece of shit. Yeah. So some dictionary now, dude. Oxford Dictionary had recently released the 2023 Word of the Year. I saw this also on Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. So if you've seen that this week, you already know about this, and that show gets many more listeners. So let's not even get into that, Danny. It's gonna hurt my feelings. Riz is the 2023 Oxford Word of the Year. Riz is Gen Z, or is it Gen Alpha? Wait, there's another code or term for Gen Z called Gen Alpha. I'm not familiar with this. Riz is slang for style, charm, or attractiveness, or the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner. That's the word of the year. It beat out contenders like situationship. My friend Katie Holler, funny comic, she always talks about situationships. Prompt, which I was like, prompt? You mean like fast? I think everybody like knows about that already, but I think they mean prompt and as in like something you would enter into ChatGPT. De-influencing, that's when you're like, stop buying so much stuff, dude. You're fucking up the planet and whatnot, dude. And yes, Swiftie. Riz emerged out of internet and gaming culture, according to Oxford, and was popularized in 2022 by the YouTube and Twitch streamer Kai Sennett, who posted Riz Tips videos online. Well, now I want to go watch those Riz Tips, dude. I want to have sick Riz, dude. By the way, I live in a very small apartment, and my electric bill for November was like $110. And I'm like, is it because of all these fucking Christmas lights I have up in here? Do they like use up a lot of fucking power? That sucks. I'm just paying out the ass for like very inexpensive Christmas lights that I purchased at Rite Aid for half off. Wow, cool, Danny. You're a cool guy. I'm going to blow your money on that, pal. Anyways, these Riz videos, Riz tip videos, I kind of want to go watch those. Riz went viral in June of this year, 2023, after the actor Tom Holland, in an interview with BuzzFeed, said, I have no Riz whatsoever. I have limited Riz. That's pretty funny. Nice job, Tom. I enjoyed that. Some other things are like contenders. Well, last year, the word, or actually it's a phrase, was goblin mode. And I forgot what that was. I had to look it up again. Goblin mode is when you just go complete, not hegemony. What's the word? Hedonism. You're just like pure hedonistic desires. You give in to your hedonistic desires and don't care about social judgments or expectations. You're like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to eat cookies in bed all day and fucking smoke weed and, you know, finally buy meth and try it. Just dig holes, dude. Like that kind of shit. You know what I mean? And then beige flag, which is when it's when someone is boring. When a potential romantic partner is boring, they're giving me a lot of beige flags. I kind of like that one. I might like that better than Riz. Go beige flag, dude. Also, I was thinking about this. Making fun of people for being stupid is truly one of the great joys of life. Like, there's few things better than just, I heard this pod. I'm not going to say any names or like anything that would identify these people because I know one of them and they're a friend of mine. I'm not even going to say the gender. But if sometimes I just heard this podcast and I was like, oh my God, these people are not very smart. And just texting your friends about, oh, so-and-so person is not very smart. And then like coming up with like specific digs and burns. I know it's not nice, but it's fun. It's very fun to make fun of stupid people, dude. I love it. I also heard this on a podcast recently. It was on Conan O'Brien's podcast. Did you know that Ferris Bueller's parents in the movie, the characters that played his parents, those two actors met on the set of Ferris Bueller's and have a daughter, and she was in a store with some friend of hers or something, and they were like, tell Conan the story. So she told Ferris Bueller's parents' legitimate daughter, told Conan O'Brien that story in a store. Isn't that crazy? I kind of love that. That's a cute little story. We're 9 minutes in. Things are fine. I said things are fine. Nothing's are fun. Just I listened back for a second. Okay. Things are good. Dude, Angelina from Jersey Shore, another great quote that I meant to say this last week, but I put all these notes on my phone to like run through on the pod each week. And then sometimes, I don't know why, my eyes just like skip over some of the notes. And then later, as I'm like entering the notes for that week's podcast episode, doing a little wrap up boring shit I have to do to post the episode, I look back over my notes and I'm like, I didn't even say those three things. So this is one of those three things I didn't say. Angelina said, well, so the crew, They always do these family vacations, and they went down to Margaritaville in Orlando. By the way, don't ever go there unless you have like kids that you want to like take to a family resort, because apparently like the vibe was like pretty like, you know what I'm saying, dude. It's like a family resort, dude. You know what I mean? I mean, those are great. I'm all for them. But like the Jersey Shore crew at a family resort seems a little odd. Although they do all have kids now, so maybe not. Anyways, while they were there, I think the producers wanted to give them like an entertaining side diversion or side trip. So the guys went to a flat earth convention, which just consisted of one lady in a park. So then they were asking the Jersey Shore people like what they thought about the theory, quote unquote, the idea of the earth being flat. Angelina, I thought she had the best one. She goes, "The earth is not flat. We'd be," and then she put her hands out like this, like you're pushing against two hands against a wall. She goes, "We'd be hitting into shit," which sounds kind of dumb, but it's also very smart. Like, it's true, dude. If the earth was just a big rectangle, we'd be like smashing over. It'd be like a fucking dustpan collecting shit, and just, it wouldn't be good, dude. Like, the earth would be covered in like meteors and shit, you know? And it'd be noisy. Like, this fucking flat earth, dude. We gotta make this thing round at some point. Oh, and also the other thing from Jersey Shore that I liked was they were talking about how to be a dirty stay out. Like a dirty stay out, if you don't know, it's like when you stay out till like 4 a.m, just get boozed up and do crazy shit. And part of being a dirty stay out, there's specific things you need to do, like disregard social norms. They were like smacking each other's asses, like hanging out of like a golf cart or something. That's a good thing to do. Also make animal noises. That's always fun. And then they tried to get Sammy Sweetheart to be a dirty stay out. She's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a dirty stay out," but she wasn't. They put this up on the screen. Like, she wasn't being a dirty stay out because she wasn't drinking, she wasn't dancing, and she was wearing underwear. All three of those things are not being a dirty stay out, dude. Okay. So that's fun. I love that shit. All right. I'm smiling just thinking about Jersey Shore right now. All right. That's cool. No girlfriend. 48. Let's continue. Also a recommendation I have for you. If you have, an office job, or even if you work from home, if you go into the office occasionally, what I like to do is walk around, not all the time, but just like maybe like two times a day, just put on this air of like pretend authoritarianism. Like, I'll just walk up to people that are like sitting at a table, like just two like ladies that I know, and they're like working quietly, and I'll just go up and like, there's, let's say it's the two of them at a table, and there's like eight of their tables around, and nobody else is even in the area. Like, you can't even see other people in the room besides those two. Just walk up to them and just be like, "Hey, I'm so sorry. Sorry, but I know you guys are working. We're just trying to keep this area clear. Would you guys mind scooting over to the other side of the floor?" Just like acting like you have authority that you don't. And they're just like, "What, dude?" You know, like, I love doing shit like that. That's one of my favorite things on the planet. Also, you know, you shouldn't give up on your dreams at any point. That's what I keep telling myself. Might not be true. Maybe you should give up on your dreams. But there was something, I forget where I saw this and don't really care. There was this lady who is 82. She's a rancher in Canada, and she's learning Spanish because she doesn't like how the Canadian government treats ranchers. So she's teaching herself Spanish so that she can move down to Bolivia to start a ranch, and she looks great. And she's 82, you know? It's like, you can always be picking up new skills. That's fucking sick. I love that shit, okay? All right. And thinking through what to talk about next, just kind of looking around the room and thinking about Jesus. Just kidding. All right. I'm just kidding. I know exactly what to say next. I just thought it'd be fun to insert a weird pause. Okay. Now we're moving into the inspirational quote, inspirational ideas section of the podcast. That is something that keeps coming up over and over every week because I like it. I like this kind of shit. I love it. It helps me. You know, I like to think about ways to improve, how to live a more inspired life, how to be focused on, like, you know, kindness, joy, love, all the things you're supposed to be doing in life besides being a cynical piece of shit, Danny. Okay, here's some advice that I read. Results accumulate, and this is from my favorite Farnham Street blogcast, Danny, newsletter, Farnham Street. If you haven't heard this before on the pod, I talk about it all the time. It's Farnam Street. They have a newsletter weekly. If you type that into Google, it'll pull it up. Farnham Street is the street in Omaha, Nebraska, where Berkshire Hathaway is based. And this dude, who was like a Canadian IT guy, started writing all these like inspiring or like self, Jesus Christ, have I ever composed a sentence before? He created all these mental models for how to think through decisions in life. And a lot of these big high-end Wall Street people types, like VC hedge fund people, started listening and getting inspired by it. And it's they just have this newsletter every week and it's great. And if you've heard me explain it before, I probably did a much better job of it then. And now you had to sit through that twice. And I issue you my sincere apologies. Anyways, okay, from the newsletter. Results accumulate long before they are visible. The formula for failure is a few small errors consistently repeated. Just because the results aren't immediately felt doesn't mean consequences aren't coming. You are smart enough to know the potential results. You just don't necessarily realize when they're coming. So that kind of started off with a negative view of it, but it's really trying to focus on the positive. What are the systematic, small positive things you can do every day to get to a better place down the road, even if you don't see immediate results? Also, my friend, David Brooks, he's this, I don't want to say the name of the newspaper. I try to be apolitical. He's a newspaper columnist. He used to teach at Yale. I wish that he would come to New York and watch me do stand-up and follow me around and write an essay about it. I think it'd be neat. Anyways, he was talking about you can be two things in life. You can be a diminisher or an illuminator. You can diminish others or you can illuminate them and shine light upon other people around you. And just having that kind of persistent curiosity about others. He quoted psychiatrist Ian McGilchrist, who said that attention is a moral act. It creates and brings aspects of things into being. If you're actively listening, really, truly listening to someone, you can influence what it is that they are sharing with you and have helped to influence them to reveal a greater aspect or greater elements about who they actually are simply by truly listening in a deep way, in a sincere way. I love that. All right. And then, I forgot, dude, I can't remember if I said this fucking thing a couple weeks ago or not, but it's worth repeating even if I did. Something I read, they said, before you go to bed every night, just think to yourself, what was the most significant thing that happened to me today and how will it influence my day tomorrow? Because if you do that, then life becomes progressive. Every day you go to bed, what was the most significant thing? How will that influence my day tomorrow? I've actually done that before. Once. And I never did it again. But I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to try to incorporate that more often, you know? Okay. This is an interesting approach to helping make better decisions in your life. Someone said, I didn't write down who said it, okay? It's just in that newsletter. I saw good judgment mostly by collecting instances of bad judgment, then pondering ways to avoid such outcomes. That's an interesting way to look at it too, you know? Not just being who are the fucking shining stars that I should follow? Who's fucking it up, dude? And how do I not do that? Okay. Another piece of this David Brooks, I guess I'm jumping around here a little bit, but okay. So back to the David Brooks thing about, it's kind of the art of conversation, how to be a great listener, how to be a better human being. And he talks about the concept of accompaniment. I'm quoting here, 90% of waking life is going about your business. It's a meeting at work, small talk while picking up your kids at school. Accompaniment is an other-centered way of being with people during the normal routines of life. We're most familiar with the concept of accompaniment in music. The pianist accompanies the singer. He is in a supportive role, sensing where the singer is going, subtly working to help the singer shine. If we are going to accompany somebody well, we need to abandon the efficiency mindset. We need to take our time and simply delight in another person's way of being. I know a couple who treasure friends who are what they call, quote unquote, lingerable. These are the sorts of people who are just great company, who turn conversation into a form of play and encourage you to be yourself. It's a great talent to be lingerable. Other times, a good accompanist does nothing more than practice the art of presence, just being there. Oh, this story is so touching. I was reading it on my lunch break at work. I'm working hard, dude. Relax. I was reading it on my lunch break and it brought tears to my eyes. I had a student named Jillian Sawyer, whose father died of pancreatic cancer. She was later the bridesmaid at a friend's wedding. When it came time for the father-daughter dance, Jillian thought of her own dad and excused herself to go to the restroom to have a cry. As she emerged, she saw that all the people she'd been sitting near, many of whom were friends from college, were standing in the hallway by the bathroom door. She gave me permission to quote from a paper she wrote describing that moment. "What I will remember forever," she said, "is that no one said a word. Each person, including newer boyfriends who I knew less well, gave me a reaffirming hug and headed back to their table. No one lingered or awkwardly tried to validate my grief. They were there for me, just for a moment, and it was exactly what I needed." I mean, that's so beautiful and poignant and perfect. And I love that other human beings just have, or that people around us have this the sense and presence and poise to treat people like that and to naturally do the what's needed and not to be selfish about it or cloying or overly, "Oh my God, you poor thing." Just sometimes just shut the fuck up, you know, just Don Draper it. Just be supportive in a quiet manner. All right, we're going to wrap up with this final quote from Charlie Munger. I think he was like on the board of directors of like a Berkshire Hathaway with Warren Buffett, and he died recently, but because of that, they did a list of quotes of his, and I thought this one was pretty good. "Spend each day trying to be a little wiser than you were when you woke up. Discharge your duties faithfully and well. Systematically, you get ahead, but not necessarily in fast spurts. Nevertheless, you build discipline by preparing for fast spurts. Slug it out one inch at a time, day by day. At the end of the day, if you live long enough, most people get what they deserve." Lovely, huh? Isn't that lovely? Inspiration. And I feel like, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I've been doing comedy for like 14 years in New York and I don't get paid to do it really. I don't get that many spots anymore after the pandemic and blah, my podcast doesn't get enough listeners and I have less than 2,000 followers on Instagram. It's like, dude, Danny, fuck that. You know, focus on creating great work, focus on being consistent, focus on the things you can control. And over time, good things hopefully will come for you and for I and for all of us. So that's nice, you know? And I feel like that's something that I'm struggling with, that likely, you know, many other people probably are, like, whatever. It's like the old thing in class. It's like, oh, and if the teacher in high school says, "Does anybody have any questions?" and no one's raising their hand, like, if but you have a question, like, odds are if you have a question, other people have the question too. Like, odds are if it's something that you're struggling with, other people are struggling with it too. So talk about it, get it out there, work on it. Slowly over time, things will get better. Thank you for listening to the Danny Palmer Show. You can follow me on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC. I also have my weekly Black Cat comedy show here in New York City. It's 172 Rivington every Friday at 9 o'clock. That Instagram handle is Black Cat Comedy. This week's lineup on December 8th. Just some truly killer comics. I'll give you a sneak preview. We have Brittany Carney, fucking JP McDade is on it. He's filming his special on Sunday here in New York City. Like, it's just the killer lineup. It's also the first day of Hanukkah on Friday. Who knew? And yeah. And then also, what are the other things I want to say? Oh, I have Thursday night. I'm going to be. Does it really? Honey, are you reading off your shows? Do you think people are really going to show up? Yes, they might, you know. This Thursday night, I'll be at the Grizzly Bear in Midtown. And also a big show next Saturday, December 16th, opening for Giulio Gallarotti at the Toronto Theater. That's in Toronto, Canada. I've never been there before. That's going to be sick. So, yeah, you know, thanks for listening to the show. Have a great fucking June. Enjoy the holidays, you fucking Johns. Dude, no one needs to hear your fucking pleasantries about enjoy the holidays, dude. Just stop recording, okay? Fucking piece of shit. I'm talking to myself, not you guys. You guys are cool. All right, thank you for listening. Come.